The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko
and Amasewa Bidiako.
In the headlines, Ghana's economy scores high marks in IMF's 2015 report. Government places fine of $1 million on patrolling operations. Police arrest 28 fake driver's license dealers in Accra and Tema. Nigerian rebel group rejects government's offer of talks to end incessant pipeline attacks. And 11 students arrested in Burundi for defacing photograph of Pierre Nkurunziza. The Minister of Communications, Dr. Edward Omane Boamah, says Ghana's economy has made some progress as indicated by the IMF report of 2015. He said the government of John Mahama is committed to improve the general well-being of Ghanaians. Dr. Boamah said this in an interview with Radio Ghana.
President Mahama's government takes the position that mere economic growth and its associated indicators are necessary but not sufficient measures of human well-being. The statement goes on to say that we believe human development is a more encompassing and comprehensive way to conceptualize development as it puts people first. So yes, we have made some progress in terms of the economy. The IMF acknowledges it. But for President Mahama's government, we believe that the people and what concerns the people in terms of health and the overall effect of the economic activity is even far more important than just mere measurements of growth. And that is why if you go towards the end of the statement, we then capture the human development indices. These are the things that actually will tell you that yes, if we are to put your health status together, if we are to put educational attainment together, and if we are also to add economic performance, all these things and how they interrelate, Ghana is better than Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana is better than Nigeria, Ghana is better than Senegal. And these are the figures. Ghana on the human development score had 57.9%. Cote d'Ivoire had 46.2%. Nigeria 54.1%. Senegal 46.6%. Kenya 54.8%. And these are not figures from government. These are figures from the UNDP. There again, if you also are to look at how well Ghana has fared in terms of Ghana itself from the year 2000 to the year 2008 to the year 2015. You realize that in the year 2000, we were at 55.2%. Over an 8-year period, 2000 to 2008, we moved by 0.1 to 55.3. That is from 55.2 to 55.3. So over about 7 years, from 2008 to 2015, we moved by 2.6%. And so we are now at 57.9%. So whether you compare it in terms of the trajectory in Ghana or you compare it among countries in sub-Saharan Africa, you realize that the combined effect of attainments in education, attainments in health, and also the economic performance come together to put us at a very, very good level and a good range. And that is how come when the UN did the human development ranking, Ghana was placed in the medium developed country level.
Dr. Edward Omane Boamah is the Minister of Communications.
A civil society platform on oil and gas says it disagrees with President Mahama's justification for leasing the Electricity Company of Ghana under a concession. The platform thinks the move will not necessarily make the company more efficient, citing previous experiences in the case of TNT converted to Ghana Telecom and later sold to Vodafone. Chairman of the steering committee, Dr. Steve Manteau, told Radio Ghana they are not against efficiency at the ECG, but rather a scenario where expatriates gain at the expense of Ghanaians. He suggested the listing of ECG on the Ghana Stock Exchange for a turnaround.
What we were doing amounted to privatization and preferred to use the word concession. But we have always maintained that concession was a form of privatization. Now, in his comment, we saw some contradiction, some confusion. He did not appear to appreciate the difference between liberalization and privatization. We have seen copies of the feasibility report on the e-privatization, which suggests that with an investment of $117 million, the investor can easily coolly rake in as much as $700 million. And that these profits, based on the financial modeling used in that exercise, is going to come from increased tariffs. Again, we also find in the feasibility report an insistence on government removing the burden of rural electrification from the concession, something that ECG has been made to carry all these years. So we realize that the rules are being rigged to ensure that whoever takes over ECG actually succeed. And now we believe that we can do the same for ECG and make sure that ECG succeeds, so that whatever profit, whatever gain that arises out of such transaction or such reform that retains ECG in Ghanaian hands will be retained in the country.
President Mahama's argument has been that it will not be privatized, but it is going under a concession. Arguably, the move is necessary to make the company more efficient. And your argument is that efficiency, of course, efficiency comes with a price, doesn't it? But you're saying that the profit should go somewhere else. How is that?
Interestingly, President Mahama talks about, indeed, about fixing ECG's problem. And we perfectly agree with the president. We disagree with equating fixing of ECG's problem with privatization. We believe that fixing the problem begins with a diagnosis of a problem. And we have done some reading around ECG, including the feasibility report authored by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And we find that ECG faces just three problems. A certain lack of corporate accountability. Problem number two, operational efficiency or lack of it. Three, a lack of capital injection.
Chairman of the Steering Committee on the Civil Society Platform on Oil and Gas, Dr. Steve Mantiao, talking to Rebecca Epe.
Parliament will begin amendments to the Ghana Geological Survey Bill 2015 following the presentation of a report of the Committee on Mines and Energy on the bill to the House. The chairman of the committee, Alhaji Ahmadu Sorogo, said the passage of the bill will provide the framework for the promotion of standards of professional conduct and efficiency in geological matters. It will also require data acquisition to guide the effective management of natural disasters, water resources, and environmental management. Here's a report from our parliamentary correspondents, Dominic Honoji and Augustus Akwe.
The Geological Survey Department was established in 1913, but its constitutive act, the Survey Act 127, was promulgated in 1962. The Deputy Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Kwabnam Intakando, told Parliament that the bill stands to remedy the challenges facing the department, which include mass exodus of staff, and make mandate to the department to reflect current developments. The new act will also make the department an authority.
The department was actively involved in the construction of Akosombo Pong Rehydroelectric Dam. The department is faced with inadequate resources and mass exodus of qualified staff. Mr. Speaker, if this bill is passed, it will help enhance new mineral discoveries throughout the country and also help the nation diversify the mineral resources base.
The MP for Commended Negwa Fabrium, Dr. Nana Atu Asa, said the regulatory function of the authority must be made clear.
We also are aware that still in Ghana, about 70% of the land area has not been mapped. And one of the reasons has been the fact that geological surveys plus funding, and for that matter, will this converge most likely when it becomes semi-autonomous, they'll be able to have some sort of funding to do all that they need to do. The authority has much more to do with regulation. When it comes to the geological survey authority, we're not too sure whether they have some regulatory function. And so that is an area that we thought we needed much more clarification as far as the word authority is concerned.
A deputy majority whip, Ibrahim Ahmed, said the composition of the governing body of the authority will have to be properly constituted so as not to create any conflict of interest.
It was finally noted that the bill provides for a governing body to ensure the effective performance of the functions of the authority. The committee is saying that we should include Ministry of Petroleum and Energy. Speaker, I strongly think that since this is a regulator that is going to be composed to have oversight responsibility on activities that is going to be under this ministry, this special provision must be properly looked at.
Provisions in the bill include funding for the authority, the authorities intellectual property, and foreign activities.
Dominic Honoji and Augustus Takui filed that report from Parliament.
Ghana loses about 2.7 million square meters of shoreline annually to the sea as a result of coastal erosion. This occurs alongside the destruction of coastal infrastructure. The effects on communities, tourism, and the economy were highlighted by the Minister of Environment, Science, Technology, and Innovation, Mahama Yariga, in Accra at the celebration of World Oceans Day. Joyce Jechi reports.
The sea covers about 70% of the earth and produces more than half of its oxygen. It facilitates international trade, serves as source of food, and generates huge tourism revenue to countries that have managed their resources well. This natural resource is also a habitat for numerous marine life. Increasing commerce and industrialization, land-based pollution, and dumping of all sorts of waste are some of the causes of the pollution. For instance, 8 million tons of plastics from bags to bottles are washed into the sea annually. These adversely affect the health of human beings and biodiversity. Due to the alarming pollution of the sea, the UN set aside 8 June from 2008 to be observed annually as World Ocean Day to raise global awareness on how to reverse the situation. The Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Mahama Yariga, said pollution of the sea coupled with climate change is eroding the country's shorelines. He describes the state of the ocean.
Our choice as a people to employ inappropriate fishing practices coupled with other capital overcapitalization of the sector has resulted in severe decline in many of our fish stocks and the collapse of others. Today, we no longer have the triggerfish, the sardinella, and horse mackerel stocks have declined significantly.
He touched on the destruction of wetlands and lagoons and their effects.
The deplorable state of the Kole and Chemu lagoons today is a testimony of the recklessness with which we choose to treat our environment and in managing our waste. Many of our coastal lagoons, which serve as fish spawning and nursery grounds, are rapidly tracing the path of the Kole and the Chemu lagoons.
In a speech read for him, the Executive Director of the Environmental Protection Agency, Daniel Amralo, said since 2011, the influx of seaweed called sargassum has caused severe ecological and socioeconomic challenges to 9 communities in the western coast of Africa. Thus, he said, call for global and national collaboration to tackle. Therefore, the EPA is working closely with relevant stakeholders to better manage the ocean's ecosystem. The local theme for the Ocean Day, Healthy Sea, Healthy People, seeks to highlight the role the sea plays in preserving lives and the need to sustainably manage it for posterity.
Joyce Chichi reporting.
The Minister for Fisheries and Aquaculture, Sherry Aiti, says petrolling and other illegal fishing activities, including transshipment, cost the nation over $10 million annually. She said as part of efforts to rescue fishing illegalities on the sea, government has placed a fine of $1 million on petrolling activities or operations in Ghanaian waters where defaulters of the fine will face a jail term. The ministry, in collaboration with the Ghana Maritime Authority, has also put in place vessel tracking and monitoring systems which will monitor all vessels that enter Ghanaian waters. Madam Aiti said the monitoring system would also enable the Maritime Authority to follow the movement of these ships on the sea and track them when they start moving towards inappropriate places on the sea. Speaking at a stakeholders forum in Sekendi to address issues concerning the safety of the sea and its resources, Madam Aiti confirmed that there is no patrolling going on in the country because of the strict measures against the practice. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Ghana's economy scores high marks in IMF's 2015 report. Government places fine of $1 million on petroling operations. Police arrest 28 fake driver's license dealers in Accra and Tema. Nigerian rebel group rejects government offer of talks to end incessant pipeline attacks. And 11 students arrested in Burundi for defacing photograph of President Pierre Nkurunziza.
28 people have been arrested by the police for allegedly dealing in fake driver and vehicle licensing authority roadworthy certificates and stickers. The suspects were arrested at the premises of the authority in Accra and Tema, comprised 21 males and 7 females, aged between 21 and 30. They have since been cautioned and granted bail pending further investigations and necessary action. A statement issued and signed by the Director of Police Public Affairs, Superintendent Sifas Atta, said the police retrieved printers, photocopy and training machines, computers, roadworthy certificates and stickers, mobile phones and office equipment in the operation. The statement said the suspects who operate from containers were suspected to be behind the recent proliferation of seeming genuine DVLA roadworthy stickers. It said investigations revealed that the stickers were procured from other sources apart from the approved ones. The statement advised the public, especially motorists, to go to only the DVLA private test garages to have their vehicles tested.
An expert in peace and security studies at the Legon Center for International Affairs and Diplomacy, Dr. Ken Ahosu, has urged the government to pay attention to the police in terms of logistics to fight crime. Dr. Ahosu advised the police service to adopt the shoot and kill tactics when dealing with hardened criminals, adding that the police must not move alone when carrying out such duties. He spoke to Agatha Asamoah.
The government in the first place has to pay attention to the needs of the policemen, especially the logistics that they need as to fight crime. A body armor is something that every policeman that goes on such duty should be provided with. Secondly, there is a type of helmet that is now being used, not the normal type that is shining, and then it is somehow soft outside, the hard inside. These things have to be provided to the police. This said and done doesn't mean that no policeman will be killed again. Certain type of tactics that the police have to put in place, they are supposed to shoot and kill and not supposed to arrest criminals. When they realize that these are real hard criminals who are armed robbers, they should no longer try to arrest them, but what they have to do is to shoot, to disarm them and to assist them to shoot, to kill them. What is also important is that police should not move about when they are carrying out these duties single. I mean, they should not be solitary, alone or something moving. What is normally done is that they must in sometimes a number of 3 and 4 Ghanaians speak derogatorily of the policeman. But I have on occasion said that it is time that we respect the policeman and we know the important duties that they perform in our society.
An expert in peace and security studies at the Legon Center for International Affairs and Diplomacy, Dr. Ken Ahosu.
International election observers point to the fact that, on the African continent, Ghana remains a champion of democratically elected institutions. With peaceful and fair transition of power since 1992, Ghana is considered a model. Will Ghana's credentials remain the same after the next presidential and parliamentary elections? If so, how can Ghana work towards achieving peace and consolidating its enviable credentials? Rebecca Epe has been finding out more.
Ghana's 1992 election was keenly contested, climaxing in an election adjudication petition at the Supreme Court, which saw all parties abiding by the ruling. This, in the view of international observers, is an illustration of strong foundations of democracy in Ghana. But how strong is Ghana's democratic credentials? Kwesi Jonah, a senior research fellow at the Institute for Democratic Governance, IDEC.
We should continue to exert effort to ensure that the peace and stability, which have given us this very good reputation in the world, remains.
Mr. Jonah gave examples of Kenya and Cote d'Ivoire. To him, these countries took peace for granted and Ghana needs to take a cue.
Cote d'Ivoire, our neighboring country, many years. Cote d'Ivoire was considered to be one of the most peaceful, one of the most stable, one of the most developed countries in the African continent on the right track. Just one election. Kenya, if you take East Africa, Kenya is the most developed economy in East Africa. Kenya was considered to be a haven of peace. Kenya had a very good tourism industry. People from all over the world coming because the country was peaceful, stable, and safe. Just one election. And so the fact that we have not experienced any violent post-election conflict does not mean that we should be content with the reputation that we have gained.
So I asked Mr. Jonah, what in his view can Ghana do to ensure that peace is maintained during the November polls?
Particularly difficult election. Why is it a difficult election? It is a difficult election because the last election ended up in the Supreme Court. People have taken and changed positions. So we are not going to court again. We are not going to do this again. Everything will have to resolve at the police station. If we are not very, very careful, the conduct, the behavior of some of our party members could easily lead to violence.
Rebecca Ekpes reports.
The Deputy Western Regional Director of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture, Emmanuel Sasuyeboa, has encouraged the youth to consider farming for sustainable livelihood. He asked the graduates not to shy away from farming because people who have gone into it have been successful. He spoke to Mary Aziz Tunde.
The youth or graduate that you are talking about, everybody is looking for money. That's why we work. And there is a lot of money in all the agricultural ventures. So whichever venture that you are interested, will teach you what you are supposed to input and your returns. It will give you all the scenario. And you see that each of them has tremendous economic benefits. Every venture, whether you are going to start the cultivation or you are going to trade in that agriculture venture, is very profitable. You need to plan and execute the plan effectively. So before you go into it, know the variety that you are going to plant. Is it good for fufu, for gari, for whatever? And know your bias before you even go into that venture. There is what we call a cropping calendar. In the cropping calendar, you consider right from the seed and where you are going to crop your thing, and up to the market. You think through and where you are even going to save.
Does the Ministry of Agri give funding? Because it's not easy getting loans to start a farm.
But I will say straight away that we don't. It is time that farmers or interested people, you know, who want to go to agri should face, you know, the facts.
That was the Deputy Western Regional Director of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture, Emmanuel Sasuyeboa, talking to Mary Aziz Tunde.
Deputy Minister of Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts, Jifa Gomeshi, has launched the first No Yawa National Youth Sexual Reproductive Health and Rights Summit in Accra. The two-day event will provide the youth the opportunity to hold discussions with stakeholders on youth and sexual reproductive related issues. Madame Gomeshi advised the youth to be selective in what they listen to and read to avoid any negative influence and to destroy their future. Sharon Asman has the details.
No Yawa, we there for you, means no problem, no stigma, no wahala, no shaking, or youth should not panic. No Yawa is not to judge youth, but to be proactive in attending to their problems. Deputy Minister of Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts, Jifa Gomeshi, advised young people to make right choices because their future depends on decisions made today.
I think that for your generation, you are blessed to be here at this time when the world has so evolved that there are many opportunities that I didn't have, and my parents didn't have, but you have the opportunity to excel. You have bombarded with so much information. I know that it will be difficult for you to sit. But that's why you have events such as this, where you have who are specialized in particular fields, speak to you about the choices that you can make. If you choose to listen, the benefit is not only to you and your family, but to our country.
A representative of the organizers of No Yawa campaign, Leonard Yao Goba, says the program is to educate the youth on issues of reproductive health to help reduce sexually transmitted diseases and unwanted pregnancies.
Sharon Asma saw that report.
The first ECOWAS Industrial Summit will take place in Accra from the 20th to the 22nd of next month. The Minister of Trade and Industry, Ecos Biagabra, made this known in an interaction with the media. He said Ghanaian business executives, together with their partners from the sub-region and other parts of the world, will brainstorm on how to enhance business opportunities in West Africa. Salifu Dabre has filed this report. The Minister of Trade and Industry, ECOWAS Pio Gabriel, said Ghana's political and economic stability has positioned the country as the hub for industrialization in West Africa. Mr. Gabriel said due to some difficulties, Ghana will organize the event alone instead of doing it in partnership with the ECOWAS Secretariat.
ECOWAS Secretariat in Abuja was supposed to be joint partner to this event. They had a new election of a new president who I think was only sworn in last, you remember, Dakar Summit of ECOWAS. There are a number of reorganizational taking place there, so they've indicated that they are not able to play the role they had originally wanted to play. And so Ghana government is simply going ahead and inviting ECOWAS ministers, ECOWAS industrialists, and business executives from outside of the ECOWAS region who may be interested in doing business in the ECOWAS region with hopefully Ghana as the hub. So we expect businessmen from Europe, from Asia, the United States, and other parts of Africa join us on this occasion, as well as Ghanaian industrialists themselves who will be the joint venture partners for this activity.
Mr. ECOWAS Pio Gabriel stressed that the three-day conference will afford Ghanaians the opportunity to engage Chinese partners in investment issues.
Vice President Kwesi Emesa-Arthur has called on the international community to continue to support efforts to harness the HIV/AIDS machinery to tackle broader global health and development challenges. He said AIDS remains a universal challenge and responsibility, adding that international support to complement domestic funding of HIV and AIDS program is critical, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. Mr. Emesa-Arthur made a statement at a meeting on AIDS at the 70th session of the UN General Assembly in New York. He said Ghana has made significant progress in key target areas of the UN Declaration on HIV and AIDS by increasing ownership of the HIV response through advocacy, policy development and financial support that increased over tenfold between 2011 and 2015. The Vice President said leadership commitment at various levels and across multiple actors, including civil society, the private sector and development partners, have contributed to the progress. Between 2009 and 2014, Ghana recorded 30% reduction in new HIV infections and 43% reduction in AIDS-related deaths.
In foreign news, the Nigerian rebel group Niger Delta Avengers has rejected government's offer of talks to end pipeline attacks that are disrupting the country's oil production. The group said on its Twitter account that it is not negotiating with any government committee.
And authorities in Burundi have arrested 11 students for defacing a photo of President Pierre Nkurunziza. Hundreds more have been suspended from two other schools on similar charges. The UN's Children's Fund says it is concerned with the situation and is calling on Burundian authorities to respect the students' right on education. Burundi has undergone more than a year of turmoil since President Pierre Nkurunziza decided to run for a third term, which critics say is unconstitutional.
To end the news, the main points again. Ghana's economy scored high marks in IMF's 2015 outlook. The Minister of Communications, Dr. Edomane Boama, said progress made is as a result of government's commitment to improve the general well-being of Ghanaians. The police have arrested 28 people for allegedly dealing in fake DVLA roadworthy certificates and stickers. A statement by the police said investigations conducted revealed that the stickers were procured from other sources apart from the approved ones. A rebel group in Nigeria, Niger Delta Avengers, has rejected the government's offer of talks to end incessant pipeline attacks that are disrupting the country's oil production. Reports say the damage caused by the attacks has cut Nigerian oil output by at least 25%, more than a half million barrels per day. And the Burundian authorities have arrested 11 students for defacing a photograph of President Pierre Nkurunziza. Two other schools have suspended 100 more students on similar charges. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Amasewa Bidiakon in Accra.